Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion, joining in the discussion of today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, and your dialogue and discussion with the issue of the day. We're talking about today the abortion pandemic. We've all talked about, and we've heard the COVID pandemic, and some call it the plandemic, and I can understand why when we've examined thousands and thousands and thousands of documents on that subject. But we're talking about the abortion pandemic today. All of us have witnessed the COVID pandemic. We've all seen and heard and read and talked about the hundreds and thousands of deaths globally as a result of the deadly virus. We're also aware of the vast number of deaths that are resulting from the experimental jab called the COVID vaccine. We're going to use that as our dialogue and discussion and introduction to where we're going today with the discussion and the issue of the abortion pandemic. Before we get into that issue, let me say to you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's not, what we say is not based on denominational dogma. It's not based on philosophical rhetoric. We do not base our discussion and our conversation about the issues on some political ideological bent. We base it on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, John 8:31-32, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus, in John 14:6, made a declaratory statement when he said, "I am truth." Didn't leave any questions or discussion about it. He makes a declaratory statement, "I am truth." Then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an era, in a society, in a nation, and a world today where truth is rejected, demeaned, and dissed, as the world calls it. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell, and his title of his book was 1984, that dystopian novel, where George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, politically, socially, economically, spiritually, on every level, and every all parts of society. If you stand for truth, you're the one that's the bad guy. You're the one that's the odd man out, if you will. This is the reason I'm so appreciative of what the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said several months back. DeMint warns, this is the headline title, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He goes on to say in this real nice article, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." This is the reason I go back to the statement of Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Some of his theology and some of his doctrine I may disagree with, but he made a positive, powerful statement when he said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and defend the truth. And that's what we're going to talk about later in this broadcast today with our very special guest. We're going to talk about the abortion pandemic. what is taking place, what is taking place not only on a national level and Supreme Court level, but on a state level with some new legislation that's been introduced in the State House, and the House of Representatives, and the Senate. We're going to talk about that today in this broadcast with a very knowledgeable, experienced person on that subject. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find a 165-foot flagpole with the Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that benchmark, the flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a subject that I believe that ought to be discussed by every Christian, every conservative, every patriot. It should be something that is touted from the pulpits in our churches and from every Christian, is warning the bell, being watchmen on the wall, warning of what is taking place with the death of Americans by the thousands that are defenseless, not able to defend themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Farmer, as you know, they've admitted that the COVID jabs do not prevent COVID. In fact, many very knowledgeable physicians and researchers have warned that the many faceted dangers of COVID jab, and yet it does not seem to bother our administration, does not seem to prevent the administration from continuing to try to force all Americans to take the jab, never mind the fact that thousands upon thousands are dying as a result of it. But ladies and gentlemen, as deadly as COVID is, it's not nearly as deadly as the pandemic of abortion. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, we've had about 65 million human beings murdered in the mother's womb. Now, I'm going to introduce our guest in a minute, but I want to introduce some further thinking. I'm looking at an article here that says, forget COVID. Here's a leading cause of death worldwide once again. The leading cause of death on a worldwide basis, 2021, was abortion, which accounted for 42 out of each 100 deaths, according to the report. This was recently reported in Decision Magazine. Decision Magazine said, the total of all deaths worldwide for all causes other than abortion came to 58.7 million, which means that abortions accounted for just over 42% of human deaths in 2021. By the numbers, there were 42.6 million deaths by abortion during 2021, according to the report. Once again, abortion was the leading cause of death worldwide. March for Life noted on social media, quote, this is the greatest human rights abuse of our time. And it is responsible. It is our responsibility to stand up and say, enough's enough, no more. This article then says, abortion is uniquely serious and an urgent crisis. It's the legalized killing of the most vulnerable in our society. It's the leading cause of death in America. It's responsible for the more bloodshed than anything else. Stopping the incessant bloodshed should be our top political and social priorities in America. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, let me introduce to you our very special guest today on Let's Face the Issue. I'm thankful for the Lord opening the door and giving opportunity for some to stand, and some are standing up bravely. And this physician is standing up bravely, ladies and gentlemen. And we're finding across the nation physicians of all stripes and all the major declensions and major positions of leadership in their medical practice are standing up for human rights and for human life, that is. May I remind us, the innocent human being in the womb is very important. We are delighted to have today and privileged to have with us, and blessed, I might say, to have with us today, on Let's Face the Issue, a pro-life advocate, Dr. William Lyle, known as the Pro-Life Doc. Dr. Lyle is a board-certified physician. Dr. Lyle is certified in OBGYN medicine. He is licensed to practice medicine in Florida and Alabama. Dr. Lyle has served as an instructor with both the University of Florida and the Florida State Medical School of OBGYN residency program. Dr. Lyle says babies in the womb are viewed as patients just as much as the mother. So, Dr. Lyle, thank you so much for being with us. I know in our previous communication, you have a very tight, busy schedule. And so I say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time out of that tightrope walk that you're on each day in your practice, that you can take time out to be with us on this broadcast. So, Dr. Lyle, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very, very much. I do have a profession which I love to participate in, but defending God's preborn in the womb is really my passion. I absolutely want to do everything I can as my duty and obligation based on my training and to perform kingdom service to defend God's preborn and help others to have that information to do the same.
Amen. Dr. Lyle, I have the privilege of knowing a little background and a little information about you, but our listeners do not. And we speak to listeners each and every day from Brunswick, Georgia, down to about Daytona, and from Jacksonville Beach over to Lake City. Multitudes of those are tuned in even now. So would you take just a moment to tell our listeners something about yourself, your practice, and your family, and your passion?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, went to medical school up in New Jersey, and then came down to Florida for my residency program with the University of Florida. Graduated in 1999. Looked at a lot of opportunities on where to actually set up my practice. And the practice that we took over was actually the largest provider of abortions here in the Florida Panhandle. We took over the practice and we had the physician that was in that practice sign a restrictive covenant, a non-compete, where he couldn't practice any medicine of any kind for the next 2 years. We took over the practice and we stopped on day one, stopped all abortions, and on day one, stopped all referrals. We allowed the staff to stay with us as long as they followed those rules. And it was on a Sunday morning after church that I went to my office now, and I had a key, and I could actually tour the entire office. And we thought that we had helped God in his kingdom service by stopping the abortions, and that's where I thought it was going to end. But it wasn't until I actually walked up the stairs at this practice and turned the corner, and at the top of the stairs on the second floor was the surgical suite. And I saw the stirrups, the abortion machine, all the instruments that were all prepped and set up for performing the next abortion. And I mean, we are in a very conservative area here in the Florida Panhandle. Pensacola Christian College is on the same road, just at the street. We have churches on almost every corner. We have big churches, little churches. I'm like, how has this been going on in my town for decades, right under everybody's noses, where the stairs that I had just walked up were the same stairs that thousands of women had walked up those stairs with a baby on the inside, spent 20 minutes upstairs, and then walked down those same stairs without that baby. So that's really where the ministry, ProLifeDoc.org, was born. And so we traveled the country discussing how we can use medical modern obstetrics to show that there is a life on the inside of the womb and there's an independent patient, but also using biblical principles on why God loves the preborn and why we must defend the preborn. And that's the duty of both men and women to protect the preborn.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and discussion at any point, asking questions to Dr. Lyle relative to the attempt to save the preborn in the state of Florida in particular, where he carries on his medical practice with a passion, as he said, for protecting the preborn in the womb. Dr. Lyle, what are your anticipations? What do you think is going to take place? How do you feel the U.S. Supreme Court is going to rule after hearing the arguments about abortion? Is there a possibility Roe versus Wade will be overturned? Is there a possibility they will divide the issue and render a decision very much like they have in relationship to the COVID jab, where they tried to satisfy both sides of the aisle, so to speak? What are your thoughts on that? Share with us today and allow our listeners to hear your thoughts and arguments on that.
Sure. I listened to every word in the oral testimony there before the Supreme Court regarding Roe versus Wade. And I really feel, and a lot of our board members and colleagues in the law community really feel, that whether it's going to be 5-4, whether it's going to be 6-3, Roe versus Wade will be overturned. And for decades, we've focused on this one court, the U.S. Supreme Court. And I really see that decision being overturned. And then it's going to go to the states. So it's going to go from one court to 50 different courts. And when it goes to 50 different courts, now is the time for the church and the pro-life community to be preparing. We know there's going to be a battle. When you know there's going to be a battle, that's when you want to train your troops. You want to fortify. You want to get everybody organized so that you can mount a proper defense for the pre-born. And it is an absolute issue that the church needs to be focusing on now to prepare and not to react after the decision is announced.
Absolutely. And you say that it'll revert back to state after state after state. Dr. Lyle, I'm looking at an article here. It is from Students for Life, and it says, legislators are returning to the session of Florida this week with the opportunity to pass bills that would take effect just as the Supreme Court could be reversing Roe versus Wade. Further in the article, it says legislators in Florida have introduced Senate Bill 146 and House Bill 5 to stop abortions after 15-week gestation. Further in the article, it states every abortion ends a unique human life, one worthy of love and respect, entitled to life, and to be treated with dignity and protected by the law. Legislators need to be told by voters that they can do better than a 15-week gestation. We should amend HB 5 and SB 146 to ban abortion completely. Take a moment. Let's digress from our thoughts. Are you familiar with this bill? What do you think will become of that in the House and the Senate in the state of Florida?
Well, we have made these efforts before, and we're going to continue to make these efforts. There are now 12 states out of the 50 that, as soon as they have what are called trigger laws, where once Roe versus Wade is reversed, they already have passed laws that once that is formed, abortion in those states would become illegal. That is not the case yet in Florida. We are created in the image of God at that moment of conception. You know, we can see the heart beating at 5 or 6 weeks after conception. We can actually do genetic testing from the mom's blood that we can do 7 weeks after conception. And I can tell you with 99% certainty whether this is a boy or a girl. From that moment of conception, from one egg and one sperm coming together, this is a new individual person. This person is genetically unique from the mom, genetically unique from the dad, genetically unique from the other 7 billion people on the planet. In fact, not only half the time is the baby a different gender from the mom, but the baby can even have a different blood type. And that's one of the things that it results in us treating the preborn as a patient on the inside. So 15 weeks, good place to be. But we need to bring that and realize that we are not just born in the image of God, but we are conceived in the image of God. We need to do everything to protect the preborn from that early point of conception.
Absolutely. At this point, Dr. Lyle, I would challenge our listeners to be in close contact with your legislators, both in the House and in the Senate, urging them to do at least what they're talking about in this bill. However, I am a little dubious and concerned about it because we have a lot of rhinos, and you may not want to discuss that. Have a lot of rhinos in the House and the Senate in Tallahassee. And I know Congressman Mike Hill introduced a bill a few years back, the heartbeat bill, and it was summarily rejected by even our Republicans. Wouldn't even put it in committee or subcommittee to discuss it, for it to be voted on the floor. And so I'm concerned as to whether or not that is still the mindset and mentality in Tallahassee or not. But I would urge our listeners to get on the telephone, email, write a letter, call your legislator, urge them to be sure and pass this as a minimal bill that could be then amended in the future to tighten up where we need to be so that abortion is illegal. I'm looking at an article, Dr. Lyle, Jay Sekulow says Planned Parenthood is celebrating. Saturday marks the 49th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision that allowed abortions like Planned Parenthood to become rich and powerful by killing unborn babies. Planned Parenthood is commemorating the grim anniversary with multiple events, including live Zoom celebrations and luncheons across the nation. The abortion giant's lack of respect, even contempt for human life, is staggering to say the least. The abortion industry is finally forced to answer the legal fallacies and constitutional contortionism of Roe versus Wade, where even with President Biden ordering his DOJ to intervene and defend the industry, abortion industry, at the Supreme Court level. Let me just ask a very simple question. What is it in your mind? What is your position and opinion on what is the motivation in Washington that would cause so many on the left and so many of those even on the right that's willing to continue to fund Planned Parenthood by the hundreds of millions of dollars, knowing that it kills millions of people, human beings, each and every year. What motivates, what's the motivation in your opinion?
I think that the motivation is you have to look at other things. First, why does somebody who hates the United States burn the American flag? They burn the American flag because the flag represents the image of the United States. So if you hate the United States, you're going to want to destroy and burn the image of the United States, which is represented by the American flag. So what's a motivation for somebody to support financially, emotionally, and even perform abortions? I really think it's the same motivation. We are created in the image of God. So if you do not like God and you despise God, what are you going to attack? You're going to attack the image of God. And God himself in Genesis 1:26 said, after creating, you know, the entire universe, hundreds of millions of stars in our galaxy and hundreds of billions of galaxies in the universe, and then the earth, you know, with the oceans and the mountains and the streams and the rivers and the mammals and the fish and the birds, then God says, okay, pretty impressive, but I haven't created anything in my image yet. And on Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image. And we are all created in the image of God, not born in the image of God. We are conceived in the image of God. So if you despise God, you're going to want to attack the image of God. And that image of God is there in the womb from the moment of conception.
Absolutely. And I believe our listeners need to understand your statement. It's not an option if we're created in the image of God. Otherwise, taking of that life is murder, and very clearly it is against the scripture. And yet, Dr. Lyle, I find that multitudes in churches, professing Christians, pastors, seem to have a mindset that if we don't talk about abortion, if we leave it alone, it'll simply go away, and it's something that we ought not to talk about publicly. And somehow, somewhere, there's a mindset that if you leave it alone, it will finally settle down. There's not an issue. From that standpoint, from that vantage point, what should Christians and churches and pastors do about this issue of murder by way of abortion?
First, if we're not going to hear the truth coming from our pulpits, where do we expect to be hearing the truth? They need to be a fire with the truth of forgiveness of the gospel, but also that we are created in the image of God and what abortion really is. One of the ministries that we're involved in is going to seminaries, going to Christian colleges, and training and equipping the young people and the pastors in training that, yes, this is, abortion is evil. It's attacking the image of God. But then how we can address that issue from the pulpit. Studies will show that depending if it's an evangelical church, 18% of the men and the women in a congregation have been personally involved in an abortion. The Catholic Church, I've seen reports as high as 24%. Mm. Is abortion a sin? Yes, it is. Is it a sin that can't be covered by the blood of Christ? No, there is nothing that you could have done in your past that could not be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. There are amazing numbers of people who are sitting in the pews that have never heard that message that, yes, you can be forgiven and you can be covered by the blood of Christ, even if you were personally involved in an abortion. And that needs to come from the church. But we also can't just talk about forgiveness of abortion. We have to engage and we have to participate and we have to train our members, just like we have to sometimes teach people how to share the gospel, how to share how God changed you. And when we discuss that, we have to discuss how we can actually change and defend God's preborn. Men need to be involved. You mentioned Micah 6:8. I'm involved in a men's ministry called Micah 6:8. We meet every Friday morning at a coffee shop here in Pensacola, 30, 40 of us from all different churches and backgrounds. We have physicians. We have lawyers. We have, you know, all sorts of different engineers and workers that are participating. We meet at 6:15 in the morning and for a time of prayer, Bible study, but our primary focus is on defending God's preborn, training these men how to defend God's preborn. This Saturday, we're hosting a 5K Run for Life at Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, where we will have hundreds of people sign up for this run, and we do it primarily as a fundraiser for our local pregnancy resource center, which is called Safe Harbor right here on 9th Avenue. It is a ministry. Last year, we raised about $7,000 for a ministry that provides free ultrasound counseling and support for women who are in a crisis pregnancy situation. It is the role of men, and it is the duty of men to be defenders and protectors, and this is not just an issue where women in the church can get involved. It needs to come from the pastors, and it needs to come from the men as well.
Absolutely. You touched on that, and we're going to talk about it again before the close of the broadcast today. But tell our listeners, give them some insight, information, how they can become involved, what is the best thing they can do, and how can they become involved in the saving of the preborn life.
First, it's education. As far as how do you win an argument with somebody to defend the preborn? I don't just do lectures at churches, and I don't just do lectures at pregnancy resource centers. We do lectures at medical schools as well. I was at the University of Florida College of Medicine, and I started off by asking the students, if I have a patient come into my practice that needs a blood transfusion or they will die, but this patient was not born here in the United States, do I have a legal and a moral obligation to find them access to a blood transfusion? And they're all shaking their head. And I said, what if it's a patient that needs heart surgery? They were not born in the United States, yet they need life-saving heart surgery, but they weren't born in the United States, so I have an obligation to get them access. And they're all nodding their heads. And then another, I said, well, what if they need laser vascular surgery, or they will die, but they weren't born in the United States? Finally, a young man in the back of the room stood up and goes, Dr. Lyle, we've been told and taught that a patient is a person, is entitled to respect and bodily integrity. I said, young man, I agree with you. I said, the only thing that I left out on these three patients of mine is that when I said they were not born in the United States, it's because they have not been born yet. If you ask any legislator or somebody who is running for office, are you an advocate for patients' rights? Of course they're going to say yes. Then you ask them, are you an advocate for patients' rights that were not born in the United States? They're going to say, of course I'm an advocate, and I support patients' rights and not born in the United States. Now you got them. You know? So when I told this young man that these are my patients and they were not born in the United States because they have not been born yet, but yes, we do blood transfusions to babies in the womb. We've done that as early as 18 weeks gestation in my hospital. If you are taking a blood donation that was given to the Red Cross or One Blood, and you are transfusing and saving the life of a baby in the womb by taking a needle, guiding it through the skin, through the wall of the uterus, and putting it actually into the umbilical cord, that is a patient, and a patient is a person, no matter how small. Well, why do we need to give a blood transfusion to the baby? Because the mom has antibodies which are crossing the placenta and attacking the baby's blood. Why? Why would a mom attack her own baby? Because the baby is a different person, has a different blood type. But we are doing blood transfusions. We are doing heart surgery. We are doing laser vascular surgery. It is amazing how we treat the preborn as patients. And if they are a patient, they are a person. So we need to engage, and we need to go to our legislators and ask them, are you an advocate for patients' rights? And the follow-up question, are you an advocate for patients' rights that were not born in the United States? And when they say yes, you then have to follow up and say, then help me protect and defend the patients that have rights that are still in the womb.
Very good argument and a good approach that I recommend. I read that in an article about you and what was said with that. And Dr. Lyle, we've got about 1 minute top of the hour news break, but I want to introduce this thought and then we'll come back. There's a variety of things that's taking place today, but one of them is this fast-growing method of abortion today that many are not aware of. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but I'm going to tuck in just a moment before our break for the news. I'm looking at an article by Chuck Norris. He says, we've abandoned the past. We've left our core values. America has lost her way. We're too busy fighting for ourselves to fight for others. We've traded the good book for the pocketbook. We've the value of possessions and positions and perceived quality of life. We've completely redefined and reevaluated human life. The way we treat others proves where we are in America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida, To learn more, visit conservative.edu.